Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Need expert advice on your family's health? Speak to us today at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Registered dietitian Sarah Keogh, good morning and welcome back to the show.
Morning.
Sarah, we're going to talk about ultra-processed foods. Now, you think people are getting a bit too freaked out about ultra-processed foods?
Definitely. I mean, absolutely, we need to be looking at kind of fresher, healthy food, including the fruit and vegetables in there. But I see people at this stage nearly terrified about what they're eating, and they're scrutinising every packet, and then they're feeling guilty if they're eating them, or worse if they're giving them to their kids. So I think there's a place for foods, but I also think that lots of people are classifying perfectly healthy foods as ultra processed. And I think it's nearly like another one of those fads that just gets people to cut out lots of nice foods that they really don't have to.
So I suppose it is good that people are engaged with kind of stuff and science, but are the media and maybe the people on social media and stuff, are they kind of overdoing it a bit?
A little bit. I mean, you have the nice thing about looking at nutrition and encouraging people to look at balancing. And we know, like, I'm a dietitian, like, I know the huge benefits you can have from eating well. But I also think we need to step away from scaring people and not just to jump on the next fad. You know, after, you know, if it's not low fat 1 year, it's keto the next year, and it's gluten another year, and today it's ultra processed foods, and in 5 years' time it'll be something else. You know, but we need to stop being scared of what we're eating. You know, balance, absolutely, but we don't need to be frightened.
Okay, tell us about the categorization. There are four categories, is that right?
There are. So the whole idea around ultra processed foods is we're looking at different ways of talking about sort of healthy eating, and we've different food groups that give us different nutrients, so we need lots of different foods to do that. With that, though, we've lots of foods that are processed. I mean, pretty much everything we eat is processed in some way. So the first thing we have to do is stop using the word processed as a scary thing. You know, if you take a carrot and you chop it up and then you put it in a can and you put some salty water in it, that's now a processed food, but it's still absolutely fine.
Okay.
So a little bit of processing is okay. So sort of we've category one, which we talk about as being, you know, not processed or minimally processed. And a minimal processing would be if you took vegetables and froze them, or, you know, if you dry something out, like dried fruit, things like that. So it's had a little bit of something done to it. Group two is what we'd call culinary ingredients. So they would be things like sugar, salt, oils that we don't eat on their own as a food, but we use to enhance food. And then you've group three, which is where we're starting to add culinary ingredients to food. So when you bake a loaf of bread at home, that's a group three processed food, because you've taken a basic ingredient, you've added salt and maybe oil and things like that to it. Group four then is the ultra processed, and that's where you're using a lot of ingredients maybe that you wouldn't necessarily use at home but aren't automatically bad for you, but they will be added to foods, and then you would also have food additives added, and what they do is they will help to build texture or colour or make the food more palatable with that.
And we tend to be told no, they're all bad, preservatives, additives, all of that.
By who? So preservatives, things like that, they're not necessarily...
The internet.
The internet obviously must be right. So what we have, I mean, food additives are used, and, you know, they are checked and checked and checked and checked. Now, you know, things move on. We learn more about different things all the time. And the European Food Safety Authority, you know, they update, they do the scientific checks on them all the time. And if they find something is an issue, they stop it. So if we think about it, one thing I always say, looking at this, is that potatoes would fail the testing that food additives have to pass. So, you know, if you ever have a potato and you've seen a green bit of it, every single person in Ireland knows that if you see a green bit on potato, you cut it off and throw it away. Mm-hmm. And that's because it's a compound that if you eat an awful lot of it can actually be harmful. It can cause miscarriage. But we just automatically throw it away. But that would be testing. So if Sir Walter Raleigh turned up in Ireland today with a potato, he'd be told, no, get away.
Okay.
And that's what your food additives have to pass. And, you know, they're very, very carefully tested and very carefully monitored. It's not that we have to say food additives are bad. What we're looking at, though, is that foods that have a lot of ingredients that maybe we wouldn't use necessarily at home, that have then lots of additives that give it a texture, a flavour, a colour. The problem with a lot of them, now not all of them, but a lot of them, is their nutrition isn't fantastic. These foods tend to be lower in fibre, lower in vitamins, lower in iron, lower in protein. They tend to be higher in salt, fat and sugar. And the bigger problem with the ultra processed foods is not the food additives. It's the nutrition that's in there. So to no one's great surprise, biscuits, cakes, pastries that we buy, sweets, chocolate, candies, all of those kind of things are ultra processed foods that we do see linked with poor health effects. But they didn't need the label ultra processed for us to know that. We've known it for decades.
Junk,
more or less, yeah.
Yeah. Food-like substances.
The really tasty, nice stuff, you know?
Yeah. So are you against a little bit of what you
What
like?
I would say to you is from a purely scientific nutrition point of view, you know, if I'm at conferences and we're trying to look at how we guide about this, it's helpful. But for the average person, you know, cooking their dinner, you know, we want, you know, as much as possible, fresh, nice foods. But, you know, to put a tin of tomatoes in there is fine. If you use a jar of tomato sauce, you know, with your dinner, that's okay too.
So the jar is okay because people do feel guilty about a jar
absolutely,
of pasta
sauce. But I see people kind of going, well, you know, breakfast cereals are ultra processed, which they are. But if you have a high fiber breakfast cereal, you know, that has things like iron or B vitamins added, they're actually great. And, you know, for iron...
Are they not all full of hidden sugar?
Well, first of all, I hate the term hidden sugar because it's on the label. It's my pet hate. Yeah. But it's actually in the ingredient list and it's there. And the thing about it is we don't need to panic about sugar. You know, too much sugar is very bad for your teeth. So we don't want a lot of it. A lot of the other claims that we see about sugar are very exaggerated. You know, so we definitely want to reduce it. But no one is saying you need to ban all sugar.
What grams would you find acceptable
so
in
what we talk about the
100?
So what you're looking at is I would look at in total for the day. Now, what I would say to you, if you go out and you buy the chocolate-flavoured sugar-coated cereal, that's dessert. And we're all kidding yourselves if you think that that's healthy. So, you know, let's just move on. But, you know, if you're looking at high-fibre breakfast cereals, I actually wouldn't be too worried with it because it's in the context of what you're eating for the whole day.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? If you've one bowl of, you know, a high-fibre breakfast cereal and there's a bit of sugar in it, but that's the only bit of sugar you eat for the whole day, who cares? You know, it's are you drinking soft drinks that have 13 teaspoons of added sugar in a 500ml bottle? That's a bigger issue. And there's no other nutrition in that. So it's really, what am I getting from the food? Am I getting some fibre? You know, we know that people who eat even what are considered ultra-processed brown breads and cereals still get less bowel cancer.
It's bread in general? Kind of demonised these days.
It is a little bit. Bread is absolutely fine. I mean, bread that you make at home would be, as I said, it would be group 3 processed. Bread that you would buy that's sort of industrial produced would come under very often the heading of ultra processed because it often has things like emulsifiers in it to help keep it moist. But again, we see from studies people are eating that if it's the brown bread, if it's the whole grain bread, we still see benefits in terms of reducing risk of heart disease and cancer with those foods. So the fact that something is ultra processed doesn't mean we automatically should be scared of it. And I think it goes back to the advice of your whole grains are going to be good for you.
Yeah, yeah. OK, this is all kind of common sense when it comes down to it, isn't it? What about milk and dairy products? And then people are changing to all these alternative milks and stuff.
Yeah, so I mean, there's a big push with that. And poor dairy every so often gets this, oh my God, nobody should eat dairy. Dairy is a great food in terms of protein and it gives us things like vitamin B12, calcium. It's actually a major source of iodine in the Irish diet. Plant-based milks, absolutely. You know, some people don't want to take dairy. Some people are allergic and they're there. They do come under the ultra-processed food category. But again, what you're looking at is what's the nutrition in them. So on their own, if you think of them as just sort of a plant-based milk, they don't have a huge amount of nutrition in them. So you are adding the nutrients to that, which is fine. So, you know, if you look at something like a soy milk, if you just make sure it's got calcium added, because what I find with a lot of my own patients is they tend to think, well, it says milk on the label, so it has all the nutrition of cow's milk. But actually, it doesn't unless it's had certain things added. So if you're using it, just check the label, make sure calcium is added on it. You know,
But it's way more processed than
it is substantially
milk
more processed. But, you know,
okay.
But at the same time, we don't necessarily have to say that that's a bad thing.
OK, you're not willing to wag your finger at all today.
Really not.
Let me try on some common things that we all turn to when we want an easy life. Fish fingers.
So the thing about it is that fish fingers, yes, would often come under, depending on the ingredients. So some fish fingers would be group 3 processed, some would be group 4, depending on the additives. But I just think fish is so important for children and for brain development, and kids in Ireland are definitely not hitting their omega-3 targets, no two ways about it. So to be honest, if the only way your child eats fish fingers, please do it.
Okay, better than nothing.
Definitely.
Sausages and rashers, we're now told, all that kind of preservatives in meat and stuff and
so
processed meat.
What we have had... So there's two foods that actually have a class 1 carcinogenic rating. So everyone thinks all these foods cause cancer. Most of them don't. Like sugar doesn't even feature as being carcinogenic in any way, shape or form. But the two foods that are we know are carcinogenic would be alcohol, unfortunately, and processed red meat. So things like ham, bacon and so on. Now, it's a very tiny increased risk of bowel cancer if you're eating them every single day. So if anyone's just had a big fry for their breakfast, you're not going to drop dead of cancer this evening. You'll be OK. But it's more we know that if people eat a lot of them, that it's an issue. But again, small amounts now and again. And that's kind of where you're looking with it.
Quickly, before we go, you want to mention coconut milk.
So one thing I am at the moment, lots of people are pouring coconut milk into all sorts of things with that. Again, that would be quite an ultra processed food most of the time, but it's also really, really, really high in fat. So if your cholesterol is high, it's got a lot of saturated fat in it. So just keep an eye on that.
Not a health food.
Definitely not a health, very tasty food, but definitely not a health food.
Okay, thank you very much for that. Registered dietitian Sarah Keogh. We can all calm down. Occasional rasher sandwich. Not too bad. Yeah?
Pretty much.
Okay. You're my kind of dietitian, I have to say.